This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Michigan State played on Friday night. Who did that game say more about? We'll get to it at 7:35, plus the proposal after the game, fair or foul. Pistons, six in a row now, John. How about our basketball team?
It's been a lot of fun. We've talked about this all season long, where the development of Cade Cunningham and the way that this roster was constructed, how many times last year or the last couple of years did we talk about, you know, floor spacing and just getting players for modern-day basketball?
Hello.
That it's not just Cade and a bunch of bigs or it's a bunch of points. It's guys that can actually shoot, space the floor, and then we get a chance to see what Cade can actually be. We know he's an all-star. And he, even in the biggest games, before the break, they played Cleveland. They lost that one. They lost it by three. But
he had like 38 points or something?
Yeah, 38 points. Yeah. He was 13 of 13 from the line. He was not great from behind the arc, but he showed up big in a big game. And then you go down to Atlanta and it's kind of the same thing, right? It's a score, like who's got the ball last? Mm-hmm. 148, 143. And I know they had a bit of a buffer, but Atlanta starts coming back and it was just Cade owned that game.
I saw something at the Red Wing game that I don't think I've seen before. In the intermission, people were collecting and congregating and watching the Pistons.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen it before because the last time that was possible, there wasn't even streaming. You couldn't stream the Pistons the last time they were good, reliably.
They have won 31 games this year. It's not a lot, but when you put it in context of it's the same amount of wins as the last 2 years combined, it shows you turnaround that they've had. Yeah, and John, they're in the playoffs right now. We feel much better about their playoff chances than the Red Wings. And you start to get a little excited about having playoff basketball. Where you think, how would they match up with the Knicks, who they've beaten twice already this year? Could you imagine a seven-game series with the Pacers, the bad blood between the two? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
Tyrese Halliburton, a trash-talking son of a gun, put him in his place. That would be awesome.
But these are the conversations that we get to start having now because, John, they are putting some distance. They're the sixth seed right now. They have a three-game cushion. And Cade Cunningham is the biggest reason why. John, we did the mountain climber game. How good? Where do you want to stop?
Yeah.
He's all-star. I think he's all NBA right now.
Which level? I think he's probably going to be third team. And that's where, you know, coming out of the break, where a lot of people had him. It, just to see his name in the top 15.
He's 23 years old. He's one of the 15 to 20 best players in the sport. He had 38 yesterday, 12 assists. He had three block shots. He made seven threes. John, with a little bit of spacing, he's able to get those matchups, and he can break apart a defense. He's a bigger guard, so he finishes well at the rim. I've seen that really improve this season. His three-point shot's just as steady as it was a year ago, and when he's hot, I mean, there's no answer for the defense. You can't win. They flanked him with good shooters, Beasley and Hardaway Jr. These are vets. These are proven floor spacers. And in a game like that where you got to go toe-to-toe with Trae Young, Cade Cunningham's better. I mean, that's where we're at right now is he can carry a team.
Well, he can carry a team, certainly. And now you're starting to feel better about the max contract that he signed. Because before that, it was injury, right? Or it was the team. It was the coach. It was, you know, the structure of the, what they were doing. You never really saw the potential of winning the lottery and getting Cade Cunningham. What did that mean? And now, because there is spacing, because there is some other talent on the floor, he's getting competent coaching and, you know, a general manager, a president of basketball operations that is making it possible for him to develop. You're like, okay, now I can understand why they decided to go with the max.
They've surpassed their preseason win total. They've won more games than the last two combined or will. Everything's been ahead of schedule. And I think it's because Cade's ahead of schedule, but I think it's also a credit to Trajan Langdon and JB Bickerstaff and putting structure around your great player. And now you're right. Now they are in a position where we're going to taste playoff basketball, where Cade is going to get a taste of playoff basketball. And now you become attractive to try to find that number two and then elevate yourself into the contender tier. See, it all starts to fall into place when you have the guy. We spent a long time talking about how stars win in this league and the Pistons haven't had a star. And it's been a long, dark period of Pistons basketball, but the sun has come up.
Well, it has, and you start looking at how do they, okay, they play Chicago and they beat them twice before they go to break. All right, that doesn't do anything. But then when they play with the best teams, now they lost to Cleveland, I already mentioned that, but they didn't look completely outclassed. A game like that last year, you turn that off halfway through the first because you're like, I know how this is going to end, and it's not going to be pretty. Now, all of a sudden, you're intrigued. You stay tuned in, and you think, well, at the end, you got a shot to win a game like that. You put that in a seven-game series. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they beat Cleveland in a seven-game series, but you could get a playoff series win.
I think they match up well with the Knicks. I don't know that they beat the Pacers in a seven-game series. That team gets under their skin. I'd love to watch it. I think they have a real shot against the Knicks, and that's who they'd play if the season ended today, which is wild that we'd be talking about having a shot to win a playoff series for this basketball team. They've won six in a row, first time since 2015. Like, we can have these conversations.
Do you think if they played the Pacers that Beef Stew could survive the series without a technical?
No.
That's impossible.
Oh, it's a lot.
He might get suspended. A game.
He might get suspended
without a technical. That will be something that JB and this, like, they got to address. You can't. JB talked about it when he was on with us, and I bring this up all the time. When you come back from the break, how do you get a young team that doesn't have a lot of experience, has no experience in the postseason or reaching the postseason? And he mentioned how every single possession matters. And you can't have, especially when you get into the playoffs, a possession that's thrown away because somebody loses their cool.
I've been fascinated that people aren't like nibbling at this a little bit more. General sports fans, like, look, the Pistons are a victim now of horrible years that they've had forever, apathy, but also I think they're a victim of the status of the NBA.
Yeah.
But if you just wash all that away, wipe the clean slate, and watch how this team's playing, they're everything that I think you would want in a young team that's growing. Like, I'm like, the way they have accelerated win wise, they're 17-8 since the New Year's Day, including New Year's Day. That's when Ivy got hurt. What's going on here? You know, that's winning more than two out of every three games over 25 games. That's not just some streak. Like, they have flipped something here, and they're doing it without one of their key young guys.
Right. They're being consistent. Their winning streaks are longer than their losing streaks. They respond when they lose. And the conversations we're having about them, the tone is very similar to the conversations we're having about the Wings. And it's JB Bickerstaff for the Pistons. It's Todd McClellan for the Wings. How do they respond when they have a bad quarter or a bad period or a bad game?
I think they're in a similar state because I think the Pistons have a player in a game where a superstar matters more than any and can carry you, where the Wings don't have that kind of player like Cade. But I actually think they're in a similar state, and the Pistons are just benefiting from what the NBA is, which is the bottom half of the conference. Just, they're kind of almost like mailing it in at this point versus in the NHL. And it goes back to what PK Subban said last week.
Yep.
You know what? All these teams are fighting and they compete every night. Like, Atlanta really came and competed late in that game last night. I think the Pistons stole a game last night because usually a young team loses that, but they shot so well from three. I mean, Beasley and Hardaway each shot 60% from three, 10 attempts. Cunningham had 10 attempts and shot 70% from three.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that every
night. Scored 148
points. And you're going to lose that game most times and stuff. But I just, their fight, man, their resiliency is impressive. And I feel like people are missing out on it.
I think people are missing out if they haven't paid attention to this team lately. I understand checking out the last decade, 10 plus years, but I don't think you should be checking out right now.
No, and I think Gov makes a good point of the bottom part of the NBA. Like, those teams are all thinking about how do we find a way to get Cooper Flagg versus how do we find a way to get in the postseason. And you look at just the Eastern Conference for the Wings and the competition that they're facing. They're at 64 points right now, two ahead of Ottawa, two ahead of Columbus, who is the first team out. But you go all the way down, Boston, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Canadiens, the Flyers, they're all within 6 or 7 points. Now, I know that that's a lot to make up, but this is also with the feeling that we had a 9-point lead above the cut line last year and lost it. So at this point, you're not out of it. And I guarantee you there are people within the Flyers or the Canadiens that, and Boston may be a seller, but there are a lot of people in those and players and coaches in those organizations that believe we can make a push and still get there.
It's harder to make the playoffs in the East in hockey than it is in basketball. But I think part of this is the Wings conversation is fighting to get in. I think the Pistons have graduated to fighting for seeding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They haven't clinched a spot. There's still 25 games to go. But, John, they're playing well enough where I don't really doubt that they're making the playoffs. And now it becomes a question of seeding.
Yeah, because, okay, making the playoffs, are we talking about just postseason?
The play-in tournament.
They are the last team in a playoff position, not in that play-in tournament. But I think they are, when you look at the teams, I believe that they're closer to Milwaukee and Indiana, the two teams in front of them, than they are to Orlando and Miami, the two teams behind them.
Couple quick ticket techs. Missing Ivy is turning into missing Javi. Well, let's not compare Jaden Ivy to Javi Baez, but it does show a team rallying. What's encouraging to me is they have veteran leadership for when the playoffs do start. That's when Beasley, Hardaway Jr., Harris, and Schroeder make their presence known. Certainly will help them out. Texter says, tell Jim to shut his mouth about the Pistons. Gloating is going to jinx them as he's done with others. Lions, Tigers.
Welcome back.
Red Wings. We'll talk college hoops coming up at 7:35.
The jinx has returned.
If I don't say nice things about the team, I'm a mean hater. If I say nice things about the team, you guys tell me to shut up. All right, coming up next, Matthew Stafford. I'm sensing a theme. Matthew Stafford has permission to seek a trade. What does it mean for the NFC picture? It's next, 97.1.
Hey, your New Year's resolution is to lose weight. We are approaching the end of February, so let's go. Get in action. You can get there faster than you think. With Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now and you could lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. Whether your resolution was to lose 10 or 100 or anywhere in between, Ideal You works and it works fast. I lost 10 in the first 10 days, so I was encouraged. I lost 50 pounds in the 40 days that we're talking about and I got to eat real whole food. So you know what? It was something I could stick with. Ideal You's weight loss coaches are work with you every step of the way. Your coach is going to help you lose weight, but they're also going to help you keep it off. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. Ideal You is a Michigan-based weight loss company that's helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, over 90% of Ideal You customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. I'm going to say that one more time. 90%, 9 out of 10 of Ideal You customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. If you sign up now, you're also going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start your new year off right. Lose weight. Get that $200 Visa gift card. Want to weigh less? Go to idealyou.us.
.35, we're talking Spartans and Wolverines. Who did Friday night say more about? Plus, the proposal after the game. Fair or foul? 8 o'clock hour. Little vacay recap. I'm refreshed and ready to be here. We did learn one area that I'm tougher than John. We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour.
Or just reckless.
Sure. Spin zone. The Stafford stuff, real quick, before Heather's news. Matthew Stafford is allowed to seek a trade from the Rams. What do you make of this?
It's difficult because of where the number that matters, I think, a lot to some teams is the age. The second one is what type of cap hit are they going to take? And I know that he wanted to rework his deal in LA. And maybe ultimately this is where it goes, is they work something out in LA and extend him, but do something that's a little bit more team friendly, because wherever he goes, it's going to be a big hit on them as well. Does he have one more or two more or how many more really good years if the right system and the right players are around him? How much is that of that is going to be the agent trying to find the right fit, but also a right fit that's going to be able to pay the Rams what they want in return?
So I'm a little confused by the situation, because Stafford would likely want to go somewhere with a winning, you know, pedigree, right? And maybe a young defense and a chance to compete. That's the Rams. Their coaches won a Super Bowl. They've won it together. They have a young defense. They gave the Eagles a hell of a game in the playoffs. I'm just confused, and I don't think they're ultimately going to part ways. I think that both sides will do their homework. Where's Stafford going to go that he's going to have a better chance? I mean, maybe the Vikings would be the only team. But then what does that do for the Rams? They get to go into QB purgatory. I don't know if that makes sense for LA. I think what'll happen here is they'll give him an extension. He'll play out the next couple years in LA.
That's probably the most likely. I think that's why I said what I said. But if a trade is going to happen, now the Rams don't have to trade him at all. They don't have to trade him to where he wants to go.
Correct.
And so what are the most likely candidates? And I don't know that – I know everybody keeps talking about Minnesota as a trade partner. And that really only becomes a trade partner if they're willing to part with – if they franchise Sam Darnold and send him, or if they're willing to part with JJ, who they just drafted in the first round. Are they willing to say, we think Matthew Stafford can get us to the Super Bowl this year – and then we'll figure out what we want to do with the quarterback position after that, versus J.J. McCarthy, who they spent a first-round pick on and could be their quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, it's a weird cash-out for a team that just broke through a year ago and feels like they don't need to make that move. The other destinations are what? The Steelers, who are kind of in purgatory. The Giants, absolutely not. If I'm Stafford, why do I want to go there and fight from the bottom of the division?
Well, the Steelers make sense for Stafford. I don't know how they make sense for the Rams.
Right.
What are they getting in return?
Well, yeah, picks.
I think my gut feeling since this came up, I think we actually got into this on a Thursday touchdown a few weeks ago, didn't we? Just how, if you connected the dots from O'Connell, who coached Stafford when the Rams won the Super Bowl, and then he got the head coaching job. Also, teams are going a little bit more in the last 5 years all in on a QB. That may not make sense. Like, did it make sense what the Jets did? Seriously, with Aaron Rodgers. They're all copycatting because Tom Brady did it and won a Super Bowl, and then Stafford did it. So they're trying to copycat that. I just have a gut feeling the Rams are up to something. And I can't connect those dots yet, but it doesn't make sense for them to move on for this coming season to me. And so I feel like they're up to something. Like, they feel like maybe it's time to flip their roster. They believe in their young defensive player so much from last year, who really came on. And then Nacua and Williams, all these guys, and that they can maybe...
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think McVay, he didn't think Goff was very good. That's a separate conversation. But he knows how important the quarterback position is. I don't know that they want to go into this QB purgatory. It's not a draft that they're going to have access to a QB or any that anybody's super excited about. What's the plan there? Just throw away a year or two?
Just like your word, though. They can still get value for Stafford.
All right.
Well, I mean, I think the place where they can get value for a team that wants to turn things around quickly, and I don't think that there's a path to a quarterback, is the Raiders.
Top 10 pick.
Yeah. I mean, but would they be willing to give up a top 10 pick for Matthew Stafford?
37 who's, years old, and you have to give him an extension too because he wants an extension. Yeah, see, I just don't think it's going to work out. I think he's going to end up back in L.A. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather's news.
So multiple people were killed on Sunday in a car crash on I-75 in Detroit. The crash happened just after 3 p.m. in the southbound lanes of 75 near Mack Avenue. And Michigan State Police say four vehicles were involved in this crash, and it happened when one driver failed to brake for slow traffic. you know, literally didn't apply the brakes when there were brake lights ahead of them. A 50-year-old Novi man and a 56-year-old Farmington Hills woman were killed. They also say several others were injured. And police just say that it is important for all drivers to remember that they're not only responsible for themselves, but also for their passengers and everyone else on the road when they get behind the wheel. Because one of them, the 50-year-old man, was a passenger in the at-fault driver's vehicle. I don't know about the other woman, if she was a driver or a passenger, but it's just tragic. An American Airlines flight heading to India from New York had to be diverted to Rome with fighter escort after there was a fake bomb threat made on board, apparently. The flight took off from JFK Airport on Sunday, but this fake unfounded bomb threat was received through email, and it caused the flight to divert. And the flight was just 2 hours from its destination when it made this abrupt U-turn. There's images you can see on social media of this plane being tailed by like two fighter planes back to the airport. In total, passengers were stuck in the air for 14 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh.
Before they landed. Oh my gosh.
Terrifying, miserable,
then,
all of it.
All of it. Then once they landed, they had to sit there and their bags had to be searched. Like a very big security checkpoint, basically, they had to go through again before they could carry on to
actually
get into their destination.
Well, I mean, being in the air for 14 hours would be miserable, but also there thinking that you're going to, I mean, how much did they know about what was going on?
They said that it did get a little nervous, that there was, like the captain made an announcement about that there's a diversion due to a security issue.
Oh, boy.
Which then your mind just starts going, and then you're terrified altogether. Sounds horrendous. The Four Nations face-off championship game between the U.S. and Canada drew massive ratings and was the most viewed non-NFL game ever on ESPN. So the game was watched by 16.1 million in North America, with 9.3 million viewers in the U.S. and 6.3 million in Canada. I think at its peak, there was like 10.4 million watching here in the U.S. They say it was the second most watched hockey game in the past decade, behind Game 7 of the 2024 Stanley Cup Final. That game drew 16.3 million. So just
I saw a little more. One of the stats that said at the peak in Canada, over a quarter of the nation was watching.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, they were fully invested.
Very, very cool. Buffalo Sabres commentator Rob Ray dropped an F-bomb live on TV after taking a puck to the face. And what's wild is that this is the second time he took a puck to the face in just over a year. My goodness. So it happened on Saturday during the game against the New York Rangers. There was just like over 2 minutes left in the first period, and a Rangers player hit the puck over the advertising boards, and it went straight into the broadcasting area.
The puck has dropped, and it's 4-0. The opening period, and Razor just took another one.
Just took another one.
And that was a rocket. Doctors checking Razor out very quickly. That was close to the eye.
And just got continued on?
Yeah.
Like nothing happened, wiped the blood off his face and kept going.
One of the players or somebody in the organization needs to, if he's going to sit there, needs to give him a helmet with face mask and insert the earbuds or whatever he needs to be able to call the game, put the microphone inside the helmet and just let him sit there with the helmet on.
Or just, can glass be installed?
I don't know.
I don't know what it looks like.
I suppose you could, but it would be odd.
Would it? Okay, well, yes. I mean, protect this guy at all costs. Yeah, my goodness, two times? Yeah. Very quickly, back to back. That's wild. Some customers are not happy about this major change that's coming to Wendy's drive-thrus. Soon, an actual person may not actually be taking your order. Ooh. Instead, the restaurant is expanding the use of AI and is set to deploy this voice-enabled AI order taking, basically. The CEO says this fresh AI improves the customer experience, enables some labor inefficiencies that they're experiencing at the restaurant. Says it's going to be great. We'll be rolling out at 600 locations throughout the U.S. But customers are kind of divided. Some say, hey, this is kind of where we're headed. I don't mind it. Others are saying, this is awful. I'm never going to Wendy's again.
Well,
the robots are taking our jobs.
They're taking over. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, so how many times do you order at a fast food joint or anywhere online, and all you do is pull up to pick it up. It's really not different than
that. Well, the one person said that apparently this has happened somewhere else and that they've had to ask for a real, like, can I speak to a real human?
Representative.
Because nobody, they couldn't understand what this guy was saying, apparently. Could be an issue. Which
not
could,
all accents are accepted.
According to one person is saying that, hey, this is an issue. If you can't understand what I'm trying to order, this is going to cause way more backups because then it's like you have to ask for a human. So we'll see how that goes.
Heather with the news. All right, Spartans and Wolverines went toe-to-toe last Friday night. First chance for us to talk about it. Who did it say more about? It's 97.1. If you're injured in a car accident, you need help, and you need someone who cares about you. It's KG Law. A lot of these personal injury types, they see you as a number. Lawrence KG built his business with a loyal staff. I've met those people. They're not cutting corners. They care about you, and they win. The phone number is 877-KG-CARES. Check them out, kgcares.com. Lawrence KG cares about his clients. You're not going to be left in the dark. The process doesn't happen overnight, and you want someone that cares about you, that checks in. You're not going to be wondering about your updates. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. Visit kgcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y, kgcares.com. That's Jason Benetti. Fun to hear him on the call Friday night when the Spartans and Wolverines met at the Breslin Center. Tiger baseball right around the corner, too. Nice little reminder there. Yeah, it was at Chrysler. I said that, right? Did I say Breslin?
Yeah.
I meant Chrysler.
Oh.
Chrysler. No. They play at the Breslin before the season's over. But yes, that was at the Chrysler. We'll get to the proposal at the Chrysler.
Season.
I know. We'll get to the proposal that was afterwards here in just a little bit. But the game itself, John. What did you take out of it?
I mean, it was, from a Michigan perspective, it was everything we've come to know and love about this year's team, where there are times that they look really good and get a big lead and then just find a way to not have a second half and lose the lead. It's turnovers. There's a number of different reasons why this happened. I mean, they went absolutely cold, you know, with 15 minutes left in the game?
Ice cold. Couldn't buy a three.
Yeah.
Couldn't buy anything, but they, like, 1 of 10, I think, from three to close that game out. Look, to me, it said a lot about MSU that they've done this now, three straight games, closing people out, shutting off their water, I think was one of the lines at the end of that game there. Michigan State went on the road in a big game, and to me, I thought their depth was big. Bench scoring, but also late in the game, having that effort, that energy on defense to really shut things down. And I think that Jace Richardson, what he's been able to do over the last 2 to 3 weeks here, he might just be that piece that puts him over the top here. Someone who can create his own shot, who can break down a defense. I mean, hell, he had the first basket to start the game and then stares into the Michigan crowd. And he had the first basket out of the half when they needed to come back. I really have been impressed by him. They're a deep team, but the question is, do they shoot well enough, and do they have a guy who can get a bucket when you need to? He answers both of those things for them. I thought that was super illuminating for Michigan State, because everybody knows they're good. It's just a question of how good. And if he plays that way, and they're playing that level of defense, and they're making shots, they're absolutely in that picture of teams that can win it all.
Well, and what's fun here is it feels like there's going to be a lot riding on that very final game of the regular season, that there's going to be even more riding on the Big Ten tournament. And it's because Michigan and Michigan State should be the two teams everybody's talking about. I know Wisconsin's in there, and I know Purdue can be in there, but it feels like the cream of the crop is Michigan, Michigan State in Big Ten play.
And you got to see them toe-to-toe. What stood out to you guys? 248-539-9797. And who did it say more about? I mean, was it a cementing of Michigan State's status as the best in the Big Ten and a national title contender? Or does it say more about Michigan that they lost that game at home, that they blew a halftime lead, and that their guards, John, I know that's an area that's really hurt this team. Their guards, you can't get into the paint. You're turning the ball over. I mean, they're not a complete basketball team.
Well, they're not a complete basketball team. And I came at it from a Michigan perspective. From a sports perspective, Michigan State went into Chrysler and they had the better mentality for that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
They had what they needed to go into enemy territory and come away with not just a win, but a decisive win. They came out at the beginning of the game and they set the tone. Now, I know Michigan did get a lead, and there was a, you know, a 16-0 run in there, but Michigan couldn't be consistent enough through 40 minutes to be a team that would win that game. And it's just Dusty has said it earlier in the season, when you lose leads and you turn the ball over and you can't fix it, I just don't think they're a very tough team.
Maybe it told you more about them then. I mean, you guys let us know. Joe in Gros Eel. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have to laugh because I feel like I'm going to be an AI version of what Jim Costa just said. It says a lot more about the Spartans. It says a lot more about their depth, especially in the backcourt. Jace Richardson is a star in the making. And when you get ready to play in the tournament, they always say guard play is most important. The Spartans look like they're getting ready to go into the tournament. Michigan is still a load. Those bigs are tough, but when they just can't do it all. And Michigan's got to get more out of their guard play. But I was pleased that the Spartans came up so big in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, I again, the winner to me should kind of get the headline. That doesn't mean if you're a Michigan fan, you can't call in and talk about your basketball team. But I think if I was a Spartan fan, I'd go, boy, that answered some of my big concerns for this team. You have to repeat it. But if Trey Holloman's going to hit from deep, right? If your fears hit like a bank shot three, you go, okay. If they can shoot like that on the road, if they can get that performance out of their guards, and I think Richardson's become a really consistent shooter for this team, that's their path. We know they're going to defend. We know they're going to rebound. We know they're going to run. One of my big concerns with them to be a national champion was, could they make enough threes, and do they have guys who can create a shot when they need it at the end of the game? Michigan State, front runners in the Big Ten now. They're the best team in the Big Ten. I expect them to win the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, and I mean, this was a stretch where they were going to have to be the tougher team.
Yep.
And the mentality that they've had against Purdue. Now they finally got the victory that Izzo needed against Illinois. They put that in the rearview mirror, and then number 13 Purdue, and they took it to them. There was never really a doubt in my mind in that game, and
nope.
They took it to Michigan. Now they got to go on the road to a ranked Maryland. They're going to face Wisconsin at home at the end of the weekend. So yeah, I think this was that opportunity for this Michigan State team to plant their flag. And we talked about it a little bit last week. You asked, you know, what did Stoney and I talk about all last week? We wanted to know who was going to have a better postseason. Was it going to be the Wings? Was it going to be the Pistons? Was it going to be Michigan or Michigan State basketball? And I think Michigan State coming out of the weekend says, you know, I mean, I know we just talked about the Pistons, yeah. But I think Michigan State is built and they are playing their best basketball. They're building to, I don't even know that they've played their best basketball. They're building to their best basketball right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Wings, I think they're going to get in. We talked about them. If you missed it, rewind chapters, pick the stuff you want. I think the Wings will get in. I don't think they're going to do much. I think the Pistons likely lose in the first round, although I'm intrigued if they get the Knicks. The Spartans are the team most built to go on a run. Now you're kind of grading on a curve though. Because for Michigan State, it's not enough to just get to the Sweet 16, right? The expectations are always so much higher when you have a Hall of Fame coach and it feels like he's got a team that can actually go on a run where the Sweet 16 is where things start.
Right, and that's where I kind of felt like that would be the absolute cap for Michigan, where the cap for Michigan State is much more than that.
I do think they can win it all. I don't think they're, you know, the favorite. Auburn's a problem. But
yes.
Michigan State, I think, showed a lot going on the road as a dog, trailing at the half, and just closing that game out with an emphatic victory. 248-539-9797. You guys let us know. Spartans, Wolverines, who did you learn more about? What are your big takeaways from that game? When the game ended, about an hour later, Vlad Golden, himself a decent gay, decided to make it a great day for him and his now fiance. He got down on one knee and proposed after a loss. Fair or foul, we'll talk about it coming up next. It's 97.1.
Hey, when the game tips off, the NBA action is just beginning on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting, so even if you've missed the first few minutes of the game, hey, it doesn't matter. You want to bet on the fourth quarter comeback. You want to make your picks after the first whistle. You could do it all the way up until the final buzzer. You could even combine your live bets into a same game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join. New FanDuel customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your shot at $150 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Eight o'clock hour, little vacay recap, and I discovered I'm tougher than John Jansen. It's a great way to start the week.
Uh-huh. Yep. You roll with that one. Whatever you got to tell yourself.
I will. Michigan State win on the road at Chrysler. Showed me a lot. They shot 40%. We know they're 10 deep. They rolled in there, and they got a big win in a big game in the Big Ten title race. And it did alleviate some of the concerns that you may have of the Spartans. Do they have enough shooting? Well, to go on the road and shoot 40% from three. Can they close out games? Well, they did it against Purdue. They did it against Michigan. They did it against Illinois. They've done this now for three straight games. To me, it said a lot about the Spartans. I get it if you're a Wolverine fan and you go, yep, we got exposed. I actually learned more about my team. Let us know. 248-539-9797. Texter says, John simply can't say that MSU kicked their ass and is the better team. I think you'd say that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they clearly were.
Yeah.
And so...
Are you focused on it from your school's perspective?
Right, from a Michigan perspective. And I think we did learn more about Michigan State and the possibilities for them, whether it's the Big Ten tournament, ultimately if they're able to win the Big Ten regular season and the run that they can make in the postseason. Because what we've learned about Michigan, it was only a confirmation.
Yeah.
More than any, you're not learning anything new. What we knew was they could build a lead, they could lose a lead and lose a game.
Seen that plenty.
And they did that on, you know, against Michigan State.
And the question is, well, what's new for State? This Jace Richardson thing is new. He's a freshman. And in the last month here, I think he's really turned the corner. He had 21 points on the road against Michigan. He's had the big 20-point outburst against Oregon when they needed somebody to step up. You look at Michigan State, and I know they had lost that 3 of 4 stretch. Two of them were on the road out west. I really feel like they're settling in and playing their best ball right now. Texter says they're loaded. Izzo loves the coach. Look out Final Four. Michigan State has the best guard play in the nation. Their bigs are serviceable, but guard play will win in March. I feel very confident Izzo will have them ready as he always does. They feel ready earlier than they normally are. So Spartan fans really feeling it. One texter does say they're weird though, because this texter says that they're weird and I don't particularly know if they're good enough most nights shooting to go on a pronounced run. I still think that's a fair critique.
Right. It's going to be about consistency. And going into the game and listening to everybody talk about Michigan State, we talked about it last week, is who's going to be the better shooting team. And they clearly showed that in this matchup, they were the better shooting team. But can they consistently do that when they get into the tournament?
I'm just like, Michigan's been like, I'm totally confident in what I know they are as a team. It's not, they're like the third or fourth best team in the Big Ten. That, look, when they played Purdue and State, like especially the game at Purdue, they scored 64. They scored 62 the other night against State. That's their two lowest point totals of the year. What? Against tough Big Ten competition.
Yep.
That's why they got accused of being soft after the game by some people on social media. The thing is, when they get into the tournament, they won't run into teams like that. And they've got a very fluid offense. And basically, it's going to be, okay, whoever they play figures them out enough in time to win the game, you know? And then Michigan, you know, becomes the turnover machine at the end of the game and blows it. It's like, I just, you know, I still think they could get to the Sweet 16 with the right draw. But for them to make any deep run, I'm not confident on. Versus State, I think they showed the other night, if you can get timely shooting as you get deeper into the tournament, that it wouldn't surprise me if they made the Final Four.
Well, they've got about 10 days to find some answers. That's Michigan. And because they're going to face Nebraska, Rutgers, Illinois. Games that they should win. Now, the Illinois game obviously would be a big game in the Jansen house, but it won't be in terms of the Big Ten standings. And then they play a ranked Maryland team. We just talked about, you know, that's the next opponent for Michigan State. And then they go on the road to East Lansing. And they've got to find a way to minimize turnovers. And if they can get leads in those two big games, how do you hold a lead? How do you seal and finish a game?
They haven't been able to do it all year. How are they going to figure it out now?
Well, that's why I'm so confident. They've got 10 days to figure it out, and I don't think that they will. That's why Friday night was confirmational. You didn't learn anything new. It just confirmed who they are.
Exactly, yeah.
248-539-9797. We welcome the basketball calls. Hey, March is right around the corner. We saw these two heavyweights go toe-to-toe Friday night. We'll keep the lines open. After the game, Vlad Golden, 7-foot center for Michigan. Exciting moment for him. He got down on one knee. He proposed to his girlfriend, now fiance, of over 2 years. He did it after a loss. John,
So I'm not big on these proposals to begin with. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it leading up to Valentine's Day. Not a big fan of the public proposal. Now, it all depends on the relationship you have, and you better know your partner well enough to know that she's going to be okay with it. After a loss, I mean, I know you had plans, and it would have been, you know, great, grand, glorious, whatever adjective you want to use if you win the game and you get on a knee, you make the proposal, and it's just it's a wonderful night. You lose the game, and then you still go through with the proposal. Now, one doesn't have to be connected to the other, but it feels like maybe that moment wasn't going to be as special as you really wanted it to be, so you put it off a day.
So I had read that he had planned to do this on Saturday. That Michigan was on the road for Valentine's Day, and he had planned this Saturday day with his girl, and he was going to propose on Saturday. Something changed. He decided he wanted to do it on Friday. He wanted to do it on game day.
I understand being anxious, not wanting to wait
a
moment longer.
But you lose that game, this big rivalry game, and I know he's only been here for a season, but this is a big game regardless, and you would think emotionally you'd be down. After losing a game like that, that would really kind of eat at you. You blew it. You had a halftime lead. You couldn't score at the end of the game. I would be in a bad mood if I lost that game. I couldn't then imagine celebrating Friday night because, again, you propose. You probably go out to dinner. You take photos. Your phone calls. The joy that comes with that moment feels very odd after what should have been a heartbreaking loss or a tough loss anyway, right?
Yeah, it would be hard to celebrate
the night you lose
appropriately
a rivalry game.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I mean, everybody
can compartmentalize better than other athletes,
but then it's like, hey honey, let's talk about the day we got engaged. Well, guess what happened before that?
Yeah.
Just hours before I proposed to you.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. The kids say, hey dad, how'd you propose to mom? Well, we lost the big rivalry game. And then I got on a knee and she said, yes.
Well, after MSU shut our water off and we couldn't score, I decided I wanted to spend the rest of my life with your mother. Yeah. Fair or foul, clearly all that matters is that they're happy. But on the outside, we all look in and we go, after a loss?
I wouldn't have liked it if it was a win. Like, I wouldn't have liked it after a win either.
To me, that's just not a moment that is, it's just not a public, I think everybody wants to see this moment.
And I think the engagement should be on its own. Like, don't tie it with something else. Don't tie it with a win or a loss. Don't tie it with a game day. Don't tie it with a holiday. Don't tie it with a big event. Make it your own special
day. This
is day.
Probably, and I don't know if, I'm sure it's happened before in history, but I don't know that I've ever seen, after a loss, a member of the losing team propose.
I can't think of any instance of this until last week.
Now, it didn't happen right away, right? It was a couple hours after the game, correct?
Mostly empty gym,
yeah.
An hour after the game. Yeah, this wasn't like...
So it wasn't like MSU was celebrating and he's over on the court
proposing.
Down to one knee. Like, that would be even more awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know how, even if you played good in a loss, and I'm not going to analyze how he played, but...
20 points.
My feeling after a loss is that it just wouldn't be something I would be comfortable doing. I wouldn't be in the right headspace.
Right. That's kind of
I wouldn't have the right attitude that you would need for a moment like that.
248-539-9797. We'll take some ticket text and phone calls on that as well. It's 97.1.